The first condition, I will say, of a master, when he meets another master, you see, he will embrace, he will rejoice. There's no question high and low. I had one instance in my life, my master, Baba Samsi. He met one follower of Raja Salagram, I tell you, he met love. He is very advanced form, you see. In the first meeting when they met, I was there along with them. He was bowing down to my master and my master was bowing down to him. They are embracing. But those on the way, why should they not embrace? Why should they not feel joy? That very fact shows those who do not want to meet together, they are blowing their own pipe, they have not seen God. I am very frank sometimes, you see, we do that as well. When they have seen the same thing, with the high and low. I see the God in you, you see the God in me. That's all right. So please go to somebody who can do something. What other proof can there be? And in a conscious state, not under mesmerism or hypnotism, mind that. Some say it is hypnotism, then all will have the same experience by hypnotizing. Each man has his own in a conscious state, they see their eyes, but they see like that. Each man has his own experience. But this is what is the truth. Without any exaggeration, facts as given by all masters. I was reading in 7th class, and I'll tell you one more even. I first came across a life I read. I was very fond of reading biographies, even as a student. I think I read more than 300 lives of saints. First book which came to my hand while I was reading the 7th class, that was the life of a Ramanuj saint, Ramanuj. What I read there, it was given that he went to a master. He gave him initiation. Then he came round, stood on a mount, called all people around him. People asked him, what are you going to do? I have got something I am going to give you. Oh, you are disobeying the orders of your master. Without the permission of the master, he should not have done it. Never mind, I will go to hell, you will be saved. I will suffer hell for your sake. You will be saved after all, I don't mind. At that time it came to my mind, if I get this thing, I will give like anything. But fortunately, I have given this at the order of my master, not without his order. And that is His grace working, I tell you. Never for a moment I dream that I am doing it. It is His dream. And that is, some people ask me, well, you initiate, why your master sometimes appears with you and all alone? What should I reply? Tell me. I tell them, it may be that He is in me. That's all. What can I tell them, you see? Though they have not seen Him, even then that form appears. Without visualization, never seen it. They recognize by showing photos. Well, these are the two state affairs. Those common sense talk. No, I mean, drawing inferences or intellectual wrestling. I wish all should sit together, embrace and give us what they want. Well, why are so many formations, one leading one way, the other leading one way? Let them sit and digest. Give the higher thing. Why do you waste their life, all lives, in performing the elementary steps only? Of course, what is required, each thing has its own value. Make the best use of them. But this is the highest thing. Lives are short. And this is how I got it. Now my master ordered me to vouchsafe this to you and you carry on. Have a common ground for all. All masters don't say that. They say, all right, carry on this very line. Why this truth is not reserved for any, mind that. It is not reserved right of any religion, country, or family, mind that. It is reserved right of each man, wherever that power manifests, that is, there you can get. What do people do? There's a master here, and they try, the household will try to keep on there in that very life. By, excuse me, with due deference to all, they want to keep them in that very house and very lineage and family. Because it becomes a source of income, I guess. And I think, in a worldly way, you will be a fool who will leave so much money if you go away. So that is the result, you see. Son may be equal to the father, you see. My thing might not be, not necessarily. If there is that well and good, that's the criterion. Wherever you find a go there, a mass will go to where light is burning. So this is the cause of so many religions going on, you see. They become only formations. Formation results in stagnation, stagnation results in deterioration. Truth is one. Socrates was asked whether you love Plato. He says, I love Plato. But I love truth more than Plato. Yes? Well, I mean, searching after truth. Yes? Wherever truth is like that, find the goal. Our master what did this? Told us, he said, this is the truth you have been given. If you find more than that anywhere, you go and tell me, I will also go. We are worshippers of truth, you see, not personality, this and that thing. If you find the truth here or on the street side or in a very river side or in any congested very, maybe a cobbler, you see, this shows there was one saint, Ravidas. He was a cobbler, you know. He used to mend the shoes. And Mirabai, the prince, went to his feet. What did he do, you know? He offered her a broken little cottage over there, you see. That he used to earn his money, he lived on that. He left one diamond there, ruby. Where he said, you just make your home sweet, repeat. No, I don't want it. It's an order. He pressed order, put it anywhere you like. You put it somewhere. After 6 months or so, she came, she was only mending those very shoes even then. Yes, I left here, ruby. So that might be there where you left. Those were after money. Well, this truth is goes away from there. The criterion, you see, of a saint, it is not after show. He does not live on the donations of others. He earns a livelihood, stands on his own life's end, helps others. He does not charge anything for his teaching. It's given in the six scriptures. That becomes a business. So these are some of the digest what I found in scriptures, you see, we give deference to all. Have respect for all, even for those who are that way. Because by love only you can tell somebody. Not by hatred. Not by criticism. You sit together, love together, then naturally you'll understand each other. You want to enforce on you, oh, you are right, you are wrong. Nobody is going to listen to you. Truth is truth, isn't it? This is how I got to my master, you see. That God power works, we have respect for. Son of man never asserts that I am. He says God in me. You You see that? So fortunate those who meet such a master, you see. They are put under the edge and what a duty further. The more you abide by his words, the more the better. I think when you meet such a master and live 100% according to his teachings, well, you cannot return, you will go to the highest if possible. But we don't care, we don't live up to what he says. That is why Christ says, God is light. God is life. And God is love. When you see light, when you become conscious, and the way to that is love. So, that is innate in us here. God is love and we are also love. So for that reason, see, love is there. Innate in everybody, souls, in every soul. And you'll find the word man is called a Nudhi Insan. Insan is one who has got love, who is love personified. He must be overflowing with love, radiating love for all. Anything but natural, see. The man who is overflowing with love, that is, mind that criterion of a saint is that he is overflowing love for all. Even who come to praise him and others who come to criticize him too, he loves him. He is polite, he is loving, he just put forth and don't impose. You put forward this, something like that. So, the moment in scriptures you find, for a man there must be somebody to love. You see? Man cannot live without one with whom to love. You see? That love knows attachment. You see? That love is not attached in ourselves, attached with the body, with it. Children, with the family, with the friends. This is what is called misfit love, isn't it? Wherever you are attached, you will come back. Go to there. And when it is directed to one's own self and the controlling power controlling it, that is called charity. So charity is the way back to God. All masters say that. We love the world, you see, more than the word. Some people only pray God, love God, because he will give you these worldly things. If he does not give you that, oh, where is the God? He is sleeping. That is people say. So long as our purposes are served, met with, oh, God is all right. It's a very grace. If somebody dies, oh, God is cruel. You see, what is God? If you think it is all God, then, or he takes away something you, or gives back something you, what do you love those giving? Love no service. Love no sacrifice. Sacrifice not others but to your own self for the sake of service and love. The more you love, the more you will be what you surrender. The surrender is called devotion. Love finds lover. Devotion and surrender finds the beloved. When you surrender somebody to somebody, well, he will sacrifice everything for you. So So this is surrender is the gift of yourself. That is how much leave all and follow me. We surrender everything, we cannot surrender. You'll find people like that who surrender their body. There are also, you'll find people who can surrender their wealth. How many there are who can surrender their minds? So Guru Arjuna says, surrender your body, surrender your everything, power, position, surrender your mind, your soul. Then he says, you are with God. So these are the things what are required, you see, generally. Common sense stuff. You have to love because it is in it. Don't misfit it. You love others for the sake of the soul and the God in them, that's all right, that won't give you any attachment. You love for those body's sake. Yesterday there was a telephone to me here. Some lady was there, he says, my son is dead, 11 years old. I want to meet him. Can I meet him? I told him, why you want to meet him? He joined you as son, daughter, 19, reactions to be wound up or give and take. He has gone his own way. No, I want to meet him. I do everything, what you say. All right, if you go, if he is not reincarnated, then you might find him. And that's also you find him when your spirituality gone. You have an initiate, I told you. I must be frank, I told him. After a few minutes, he came out, I am doing wrong. You can help him, that soul, by your prayer. That is best wishes for him, pray for him, that's all right. Things are very clear, but we have got our smoky glasses, you see. When we take the first step of joining a new religion, we go to church. To the holy places of worship, where the ministers of those churches, they tell us, repeat all the scriptures from day to day, the same story. There's God, the Son of God, you can meet him through the Son Man, Son of Man. God is within you, Kingdom of God is within you. So, by hearing all these are only meant to develop love and devotion in us, to know God, to strong desire. And those who have that strong desire in them to see God by reading scriptures, daily lectures, well, he said, they say, oh, ministers, stop all reading out these scriptures to me now. Tell me how to see. This has been developed in me to know God, you see, that earnest desire. I don't like to any more your preachings. Now tell me how to know God, how to see God. You see? All these through life we have been holding all these long yarns, you see. God is there, God is within you. You have joined this religion, you remain in this religion. You are, oh minister, what are you doing? You are after keeping your formations intact. You see, nobody should run away out of that. And he says, I am after finding God, I don't care to. The religion has to do with my body. I wish to, if he is within me and beyond all senses, well, tell me how to know him, how to see him. You see, I have no desire, I am any lover of God. You know. Such life. Yeah?
But when you would ask a minister, suppose, and tell him, well, how to find God, his normal answer would be, well, if you read the scriptures and if you live right, after you die, then Christ will show you that you know God.
Well, that's all right. Religious only promise after death, not in life. But mystics is a promising in life, Master. Never after that. If you want to live on credit, it is your own question. Yeah, it is. Are you? Everything in the world you want cash. In the case of life and death problem, you would like to wait till after that, it is up to you. Then the natural question arises, well, if you're so much yearning, so much pining after seeing God, why don't you die in that separation? Mm-hmm. You have perhaps heard about Lord Rama. See? His wife was abducted by one Ravan king. He was under his arrest. She was under his arrest for so many years, and Rama went to, first he would like to find out the clue whether his wife was there, Sita was there or not. When Hanuman was there, he went there, he found she was there and like that. When he came back, he brought the clue to Lord Rama, well, Sita is there, alive. Then he asked him, why did she not die? He said, when he will be separated from me, she will die. Why is she alive? Well, you see, strong yearning means that. Like a fish cannot live without water. People say so, but really that's not so. Then what he replied? That Sita, the soul of Sita, left the body but is waiting the eyes. Why? The angel of death comes, he does not find him in the body, her in the body, but still she is waiting the eye to see you. So strong a yearning, this natural feat of love. You see. So all masters, whenever they came, they say. Then Guru says, hey, y'all, I tell you the truth. Irrespective whether you belong to one religion or the other, that makes no difference. Through love alone, you can know God. All others are the same. Those who do not know love cannot know God. Christ said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. What he says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you, Comforter, I will come to you again. If two men, four men love the same man, this is a point for consideration. Between a true love is that where there is no question arises for competition. When there are two lovers of the same master, they compete. He says, I should be in front. Other says, I should be in front. Love, no duality, no competition, no anger, no, I mean, coming to the front. So just, I mean, judge your love for the master. Why all these conflicts remain in the among the followers? Because they have got not real love, I tell you. If they got real love, love knows no competition. He can be happy. The more he put shoulders to the wheel for the same cause. This is generally the thing. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you. Remembrance to your remembrance. Whatever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace will remain with you forever. So love knows, as I told you, no competition. When two followers of the same master, they do not agree. He says, I'm in the forefront. The other says, I'm in the forefront. What's the reason? Well, I think to me, apparently, he has no love for the master. True love. Love for the master for selfish motives. He wants to become near to him to the forefront of him. Oh, well, love is the remedy for all things. Love and all things shall be added unto you. That's a pity we don't love. And then he says, as your father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. He is loved in Master, is God, you see. So this is, he says, I give you new commandments, you love one another. There we are wanting, I tell you. I am pressing on this point very much, ever since I have come. This is the only remedy for all our ills. If you get some one man going ahead, well, it is his grace. I tell you, now I have come to, by the way, in the beginning I used to put in more time. I was transferred to Rawalpindi. Today, first day I will say to you. And everybody knew it. Very father of the master, this and that. That even came to be known to she sitting here, we were there. She never knew me before that. People said, well, he is here, he is a very great father of the master. She said, what greater lies with him? He puts in 6 hours a day in meditation. She said, all right, if he puts, I'll put in 6 hours, then I'll meet him. Such like competition is good. what is it? We want to eclipse others. We want to eclipse others by placing ourselves in the front. So she did not come to see me, I tell you. For months together, when she put in 6-7 hours a day, then she, along with her, then came to see me. And only when my son died, there. I was quite jolly, all right. Doctor came up at the night. He was just doing this and that thing. I told my wife, how do you give him what I would like here to go? Let him finish his give and take. At night all, about midnight, he passed away, you see. He took the breath and that in long vomiting and became cold. You see. I went to the letter sent for him and the doctor came. He said, I'll give some and he'll be all right. In the morning he came up. He was quite ready to go. Doctor said, oh, he looks better. Wait outside, he's just going. So I looked at me and then passed. Here everybody came up. At the time, relating, say how this family came in contact with me. She and her husband. He also, he met me, or her husband met me, the whole family. And they were struck, you see, son is dead, you're quite jolly, it's nothing to worry like that. All people came and they said, somebody in the Sikh temple, well, look at it, 2 Sikhs is coming out. It's a credit to our religion. And her husband heard about it, and he cannot be. He must be the father of my master. He never knew him before. He went and inquired about it, that was so. And told him, look here, he's my brother. Going and sitting at the feet of my master. So they came up for condolences, you see. They want to say, what are they doing? I gave them tea and some this and that thing, you see. So such like competition is good. No, one man does the reflection. Oh, well, two men are serving for the same cause. So put shoulders to them. The more one progresses, the better. Why all these conflicts? Because we do not love the Master. To this way. If anybody has become beloved of the Master, well, it is good. You shall also become. See how the other one has become the Master loves the wire. There must be something. So such like, you see, love, no competition, you see. No, I mean, saying why other men has went forward this and that. They quietly, they, unknowingly, they will go on doing it. They won't show. They will go on, let others see.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of a heart-to-heart talk that Master gave on January 24th, 1964, in Washington, D.C. It was called How I Met My Master. Our reader this morning is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Hello. I will be continuing to read from The Light of Kripal question and answer session. Last time I was in the middle of a question from chapter 31 titled Develop All Around. For the sake of continuity, I would repeat a little bit of what I already read. The question was, Master, do you advocate that men should get their hair cut when they become satsangis? Should you get your hair cut if you have long hair? Master, no, I don't say that. Whether you have long hair or not makes no difference for spirituality. It is only the social life which may be affected. If the social life is affected, then you can't have an easy time. People of the world will be pointing out, oh, heretic, heretic. They may even hate you. When you've got no social life, what to do? That's a social matter, not a spiritual matter. For spirituality, whether you have long hair or not, that makes no difference. But there is some principle behind having long hair. Saints are the worshippers of nature. They don't destroy nature. When the leaves are dried, they fall down from the trees. The green leaves don't fall. So, we are the worshippers of life. When you comb hair, all dead hairs go out. Even if you cut your hair, even then it will grow. That's nature's law. In this age, there's a question of hippies. They are not taken on good terms now everywhere. They are hated because they have been taking drugs. The Indian government doesn't like them. This is a bad habit that they have got. Otherwise, the word hippie means peaceful life, lover of peace. But are they lovers of peace? Intoxication of the soul comes by coming in contact with the higher consciousness. They take, they borrow, and that goes to mar their consciousness. We have to become more conscious. If you come in contact with the outer intoxicants, naturally, your consciousness is affected, and you will have to go back to the lower strata of life. Do you follow what I mean to say? Because you people are stuck fast in the social customs and don't think of the outer things. You simply see from your own angle of vision. Even if you cut fingernails, they will grow. That's nature. If they don't grow, that's all right. So saints are worshippers of life. That's all. They leave things to nature. Any dead hair comes out by combing. And we are all worshippers of life, consciousness. That's the principle behind what I am telling you. Whether you keep hair long or not, that has little to do with your spiritual life. But for spirituality, you have to rise above the physical body. You've got a ramp to learn how to cross. Take cross daily. Then, whether you have hair or not, what difference does it make? You are not the body. Master on hearsay. Why do you go by hearsay? One is led by hearsay. First, don't believe unless you see for your own self or hear with your own ears. Don't believe anybody. He may have some purpose behind, some selfish motive, some mischief. Believe only when you see, not only see, but hear also. Seeing also sometimes misleads a man. Suppose a daughter is sitting by the father. People say, oh, what is it? They are sitting both together. But hear them. What sort of talk they are having. People see from their own angle. Those who have got clear-cut views. Master on drugs. Master, most of us here, before we came to the path, have taken drugs. Will the fact that we have taken drugs adversely affect our spiritual progress? Master, surely. I tell you, we are conscious beings. We have to become more conscious. Anything which has gone to mar our consciousness, that will take you to the lowest strata of life. That is killing yourself, I would say. Question: a lot of us became aware of the spiritual life through drugs. Master, leave it. That's all. Don't take more poison. That's all. A little poison taken can be a question, but our progress now will be affected by what we did before. Master, only if you put in more time in spiritual practices, these things will be cleared. Put in more time. Don't leave off that effort. That's all right. Whatever poison you have taken in your stomach can be washed out. But stop taking more poison. That's all. What more is there on our social life? Social life is only a way of living. There was one atheist in Lahore, I think 40-50 years ago. He challenged all heads of different religions there to prove that their religion is necessary. Generally, people take the word religion as social religion and not re, meaning back, ligor, to bind. They don't dream of it. They came up. That's a very interesting question. I also joined in to find out what was what, and I was sitting in the front row. All heads of other religions stood up to prove their social way of life. Sikhs said there should be long hair and this and that thing. Hindus spoke up for their own outer forms. Christians came up with their own thing. Mohammedans came up. All were finished, and that atheist stood up and said, look here, dear friends, if you want to marry, stand before some man of God through the hands of some pious man, maybe a bishop, maybe a pundit, maybe some other pious man, before 100, 200 people. From today onwards, their connection is legal, is right. Now that girl goes with the husband and nobody points out before that, everybody, oh, what is going on? Then he added, what difference does it make? I was sitting in front. I stood up. Dear friend, now you are denouncing all forms of social religions. Yes, he replied. Suppose you have got 10,000 people of your way of thinking. You'll have to form a society. You will lay down certain rules to go by, is it not? After some time, you will see that this rule was not correct. You will amend it. You know life is very precious, every moment of life. Would it not be well to remain in your own social customs, which have been proved by time, and take up the cross, rise above body, know oneself, and know our overself? You are right, he admitted. So, we are stuck fast. Social bodies were formed only that so many people may derive the benefit of the teachings which were given under the guidance of some awakened man. But for want of awakened people, the whole thing goes wrong. And ever since this paid preaching has started in all religions, there is havoc. I think this is a very clear talk. No dubiousness. Masters come from time to time to revive that very old thing. I'm not giving anything new. Social religions have found a certain way of living and consider this the end all and be all. The casing is meant to safeguard the kernel. God has provided all fruits with a casing, but if the casing deteriorates with no thought or care of the kernel, what is the point? We are only wearing the badges of some social form of living. That's all. This is no religion. There is social order, you might call it. True religion, re means back, ligor, to bind back your soul with God. That's all. That is religion. That will come when you take cross. If you cannot take cross daily yourself, someone should give you a boost to have something. Then go on under his guidance. So masters come to preach to all the world over. They don't look to the labels or the badges we are wearing on our body. They say you are a man first, born with the same privileges from God. Outer and inner, you are not the body, you are having the body. You see, golden opportunity is to know yourself and to know God. Who is controlling you in the body? That's all. Does it appeal to you? Very common sense. No philosophy required. No inferences to be drawn. So remain where you are. That's all right. For want of practical people, all the deterioration resulted. So people again come to preach to you from the level of man. The man of Kendra, what does that mean? It is a center of for man, not of religions. Religions were meant to turn out perfect men. You have seen that definition of perfect men in the Manavkendra brochures. Then, remain where you are. In all churches, they have lights outside, but the light is within you. Invert and see what is the use of having symbols outside unless you see the real thing of which they are models. This is called apravidya. All methods relating to outgoing faculties, limbs, or intellect, they are all apravidya, exoteric, not esoteric. What you have been given, that is esoteric. There is no need of changing your outer form because you are stuck fast. You have the narrow angle of vision from which you see. Rise above. Fly in a plane. You'll find all the outside things lose all importance, I would say. But it's all right to start as ABC. I have not advised you to change your religious forms. Have you? That's all right. I'm only giving you what makes you have that which is underlying the teachings of all social religions. If you can do so of your own self, well and good. A blind man needs two eyes to see. If not, let him seek help from someone else. And who will help you? The God in him. He is not to unite you with his own self, but unites you to the God within you already. That's all. This is a digest of all scriptures I am giving you in few words. I wish you all to go jolly. Let your face shine, bright eyes, no brooding, no wrinkles, learn to smile. Where's our friend, Mr. Smiling, a disciple who always had a smile on his face? Joy, you see, it is just giving oil to the machine. If you get something, be thankful for what you have got. Go on further. Your time is passing. Your time is becoming short, has it not? Every day, every minute brings you nearer to the end of the time that you have been allotted here. Always weigh God first or the world first. Then you'll be all right. You say you love God, you say so, but in a matter of living, you love the world more than God. If you say something but do something else, God wishes every man to come to Him all alone, no family, no attachments, no worldliness, even not your body, you see, all alone. He'll be pleased. When you go to Him, you take your body. Oh, I cannot sit. There is my brother sitting, my wife sleeping there. So many worries of the world. How will He be pleased? Do one thing at a time. It is difficult to understand? Then live it. Live it up to it. That's all. If you live like that for some days, then naturally you won't like to live the other way. When you do something for one day, 2, 3, 4, 10 days, or a month or so, mind has a tendency to go that way like an ass or a donkey. If you lead a donkey around in a particular way for some days, after that, even if you close your eyes, he will go that way. So this regularly gives you a habit. Then mind will naturally like to go there. Now it is too much attached outside. That is why it does not like to go there. Because the 24 hours of the day, we are attached outside most of the time. That has become a habit, and habit turns into nature, and we have to unravel it. That's all, by attaching it to the other side. When you are attached to one thing, wholly and solely for some time, naturally you are detached to all else. That is true renunciation. So remain where you are, in whatever social life you are, maybe as a worldly man, maybe a sadhu, or anybody, then go up. All have to go up. Inner way is the same way for all. Of course, there are some harder ways, difficult ways. The path you have been given is natural. Even a child can do it, only a little boost. This is the ashram. Body is the ashram. He is waiting for you there. You have not to call Him. He is waiting for you. A man was addicted to gambling very much. His father was very ill at home. People said, "Well, will you come? Your father is dangerously ill on deathbed." "All right, I'm coming," he said. But he was still very much engaged in gambling. Just another game. Again, they came. "Now he's having his last breath." "All right, wait, I'm coming." And they said, "Your father has died." "All right, I'm coming. Prepare the body." Still he's gambling. They said they are carrying the dead man to the cremation place. "All right, I'm coming. I will come when he will reach there." This is what we are doing, you see. We are so much engaged in gambling, in trifling things, that we say, "All right, we will do. We will do. We will come. I will take off tomorrow, day after." This work has to be done. That work is being done. Only when it's finished will I come. Until the last moment comes. Then you have to leave the body. Is it not something like that? Well, what remains now? You have understood it. Live up to it. That is the only thing. Not by understanding only. That does not take you anywhere. It gives some intellectual satisfaction, but you remain where you are. You are to take the plane, go to the airport, that's all. You have got the ticket. Nobody even lets you enter the airport without one. That is free for you. And then, what do? You say, "I have to take this, I have to take to do that." That is why saints from the very childhood develop all around, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. Even the children have the right understanding. Why don't you? Children learn more. They copy you, young or old. Old life, we are not given any guarantee. the time is appointed, but we do not know it. It is already dated. Develop all around. We must take an example before us to follow. First, learn to leave the body. That's all I would say. God bless you. The next chapter, True Meditation and the Virtues to be Developed, December 19, 1970. Master, yes, come up. Are there any questions? Instead of giving a lecture, it is better if you have got any questions in your mind, they should be clarified. Yesterday morning's talk, do you remember? I mentioned that all worries can be wiped away by coming in contact with the sound principle within. You recorded that talk? Devotee, yes. Master, these are not only for recording, but for a remedy for all your ills. Master asks everyone there how much time they have been putting in for meditation. The point is, you are putting in more time. Are you improving as compared with before? The longer you can stay inside, when you see the light continuously, without break, the more improvement will come. If that light fades away, then continue looking without break, constantly. It will stay. If you continue to look, the longer time you can put in, that will give you more, better results. You see, better results? Yes? Beg your pardon? Question. Can it be harmful to force yourself to sit longer? Master, I'm not talking about sitting longer. You may be sitting for 5 hours, 10 hours, but when you see light, you do not stay there longer. It is the time when you should continue longer without break. You may be sitting, but mind may be rambling outside. Then your body is there sitting at the door, but your mind is rambling outside. The time spent in sitting alone does not bear forth fruit unless your mind is there continuously without a break. That will grow more. Whatever experience you have will grow more and more from day to day. Question. On our diaries, should we include only the time spent in concentrating, or should we include all the time spent sitting? Master, truly speaking, the time spent, as I now explained to you, will bear forth fruit. So, out of, say, 5 hours you sit, if you stayed an hour or two, that will also give you something. I'm just explaining in which way you can have better results. At first sittings, you were not accustomed to sit for a long time. Now you have begun to sit longer, but your mind should not be wandering away. As I told you, do one thing at a time, one thing wholly and solely. When you are with me, be wholly so. Forget everything, your body and everything. When you are with the God within, then be constantly, wholly and solely there. Don't think of the body or the outward environments. What to speak of other things? So when you sit, sit quite cut off from outside, your body and your mind. Thank God, now you have begun to give more time on sitting. Then out of sitting, what is the substantial thing you can have for some better results? The longer you can stay. If you meet me, for example, I'll be sitting by you and my mind is wondering, that is no sitting. When I sit by you, then wholly, solely you'll be with me and I'll be with you. You see, that will give you better results. As I told you, God is all alone. He has got no father, no mother, no brother, no sister, no friend. He wishes everybody should come to Him all alone. Who are you? You are a conscious entity, not the body. So he does not like to carry your body along with you. It means don't even think of the body you are wearing. Be all alone with him. Kabir says about sitting, you sit at the door and wait without wandering outside. Someday he will ask, well, dear friend, what do you want? You see, if somebody is sitting at your door daily, you pass, come and go and see he is still sitting. You will one day ask him, well, dear friend, what do you want? Why are you here all alone, day and night? So when you sit at the door, don't think of whether your prayer has been heard or not. Yours is to sit at the door, all alone, quite cut off from outside. It is for him to give. You need not be anxious. You are at the door. He will ask you someday. It's like attending your everyday duty. Be fully on duty and wait. He is very anxious to look into your eyes. After all, he must ask, well, what are you after? So it is better to sit at the door wholly and solely and all the same. When you get something, be wholly absorbed in it. That will give much better results. Spirituality is not difficult. If you learn how to do one thing wholly and solely at a time, if I'm sitting by you, for instance, thinking of somebody else, what's the good of sitting by me? Is it not? When you are at work, be fully at work. When you are eating, thank God. Oh God, thank you. Do one thing at a time. That will give you better results in every way of life. Why do other things haunt us? Do you know? I'll give you one example. Suppose you come to me, you have something to say, I simply attend to you, not fully. So you'll be waiting, somebody else comes, I attend to him only for a few minutes, I've not attended to him fully, he still has something to say. Then again, now all of you will be hovering over me. So it's better to dispose of, finalize, then there will be no new problems every day. Because you don't attend fully to them, they will wait for you, won't leave you. That explains why these other thoughts haunt us at every sitting. These thoughts of the past or future come because we haven't attended to them fully. So when you sit for meditation, forget the past, forget the future. And what did I say in my message? Forget the present, but live in the living moment. This is what I conveyed this time in my message. If your every minute is vigilantly watched, then you will go on like that for eternity. You know these things, but knowing them is not sufficient. Unless you live up to them, you have many things to eat, but if those are not digested, then that will bring out disease. Each one of you know many things. When you are asked to give a talk, you'll give a wonderful talk, I think, even better than the saints give. But the point is how far you live up to them. Well, once it so happened, you perhaps have heard about the Pandavas in the Mahabharata. Five Pandavas went to their teacher Guru. He gave them a lesson. Well, look here, be truthful, all right, go and memorize, then come to me. In the old days, one thing was given and then they were asked to live up to it. Next day, all turned up except one, Yudhishthira, who did not come. He asked them, where's Yudhishthira? He says he's memorizing that thing to be truthful. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days passed, and Yudhishthira did not return. Others said, look here, master, how dull-headed he is. He cannot memorize the words. Be truthful. After some days he turned up. He said, master, I have learned now to be truthful. And all through his life, he was truthful, never told a lie. So such like living is required. You know so much? I will stop here. My time is up, and I will continue reading from here next time. I was reading the question and answer session from The Light of Kripala. I started from the middle of chapter 31, developing all around, and then I moved on to the next chapter. Thank you, Master, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Pradeep, for reading for us. There were 80 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have come for you. It is for you to, for calm consultation, how it appeals to you.